warn you tonight about purpose in our praise. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. We learned from the 150th Psalm that we must praise God according to His excellent greatness. Amen. That's how much you ought to praise God. Amen. How many believe God's excellent?
Yes, sir.
Have you found any ending to His excellence? Amen. When you feel like you've given God enough, that's when you can stop. But when you fall in love with Him, and when you really know Him, you know there's no ending to Him. You know there's no ending to praise. There's no ending to all of the glory that should be given. John, in his writing, said of Jesus Christ, he said of the things that should be written, he said, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that should be written. Hallelujah. There have been many hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of books written since that time. But it's not enough. Hallelujah. They can't tell the story. I feel a little like the Queen of Sheba tonight, when she came to Solomon's court, and everything she saw, she said, there is no more breath in me. She said, but the half was not told me about the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, no matter what Jesus, it's not enough. No matter how great they said He was, He's greater than that. No matter how powerful, how good, how righteous, how lovely, it's not enough. He's greater than that. Amen. The Bible tells us that we praise Him according to His excellent greatness. One of the titles we have here, that He's Lord Most High. He's the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. Whenever you, I don't know about you, but I learned something about picking myself up. If I want to pick myself up, I can't pick myself up by reaching down for something lower than I am. You ever heard anybody picking yourself up by your bootstraps? That won't work. You can't pick yourself up by reaching lower. The only way to pick yourself up is to reach higher. You got to lift up something that's higher than you are. You want to get high tonight? Let me tell you how to get high. He's the Most High. Hallelujah. He'll take you further than mushrooms. He'll take you further than marijuana. He'll take you further than any other drug. Amen. You can get so high in Jesus Christ. One of these days, when I get ready and He gets ready, I'm going to get so high, I'm going past the Milky Way. I'm going past Mars. I'm going past Jupiter. I'm going past the sun. I'm going to the city where the Lamb is the light. And the Lord has prepared a place for His bride. We praise Him tonight because He is the Lord Most High. Amen. I'll tell you something. When you get to feeling low, you just need to start reaching high. That's all I can tell you. Woo! Hallelujah. You got to quit talking negative. I told you this morning, if you want to transform your house and you want to transform your home, you got to kick negativity out. You got to get rid of complaining. You got to get rid of your griping. You got to get rid of your criticizing. And you got to put praise in its place. Amen. It's going to take a little doing because all that stuff's habit. Could I meddle just a little bit? Amen. I hear people saying, well, you know, I don't like living like this. Well, change. You can, you know. It's up to you. And it starts right here between your ears. It starts by what comes out of your mouth. Amen. You get to praising. It'll literally transform your household. Amen. Your dog and cattle get along. Amen. They'll love one another. You can bring such peace in your house. Amen. It'll change everything around you. People walk in your house, they'll feel the Holy Ghost as soon as they walk in. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Amen. You can transform with praise in your house and worship in your house. Praise the Lord Most High. Now, he said that the Lord is terrible. That's interesting, isn't it? Did you know the Lord is terrible? It really does say that. You know what that word means? In the Greek or in the Hebrew? It means terrible. It means he's full of terror. It means he's to be feared. It means he's to be reverenced. Now let me tell you how I best understand that. I understand that this way. I had a father that I very, very much loved, and my father loved me. But I also feared my father. And I reverenced my father. And when he said not to do something, I knew that I best not do it. And if I did, judgment was coming. My father was patriotic. He gave the stripes and I saw the stars. That's how it was at my house. Amen. But he loved me. And I can stand here tonight and tell you that I never got a correction that I didn't deserve. I never got a whooping I didn't deserve. He always gave me warnings before. And he gave me a chance to get it right before. But if I persisted in doing what was wrong, I would meet with judgment. I want you to know something about your father tonight. He loves you with a love like no other. He loved you so much that though he was rich for your sake, he became poor that ye through his poverty might become rich. He loved you so much that though he was spirit, he took up on a form of flesh and he took up on a form of blood so he could shed that blood and offer that body as a sacrifice and a propitiation for your sin so that God could reconcile with you. But if you persist, he will judge you. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That means God's going to whoop you if you get out of line. And let me tell you something about the Lord. God's real smart. Before God chastises, God restores. And when you're restored and you're strong enough, then he will chastise. God will never beat you when you're down. Did you hear what I said? I said God will never beat you, chastise you, whip you, kick you while you're down. He'll lift you up. He'll love you. He'll restore you. He'll strengthen you. And then he will correct you. That's what love is. Love doesn't turn its eye against wrongdoing. That's right. Love corrects wrongdoing. That's right. Love corrects unrighteousness. Your God is terrible. Your God is to be reverenced. Your God is to be feared. Amen. Because he wants us to do right. He doesn't want us to make excuses. He doesn't want us to just say, well, that's what everybody else is doing. Yeah, but you're not their kid. You're his kid. You're a king's kid. You belong to the Lord of glory. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of the king. And he expects you to act like it. You've been brought out of unrighteousness and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're a representative and a witness for his name. And he expects better things out of you. Is that all right? Is that fair? Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. So God is terrible. He's to be feared. He's to be respected. The Bible said that he is king over all. Amen. I love in the book of Colossians when it talks about the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The book of Philippians, when it speaks about that he became like us. He put on a form of flesh. Amen. He became a man. And the Bible said he was subject, or he was obedient even unto the death on the cross. And because he was, therefore, there is given unto him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus all knees shall bow and every tongue shall confess of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, amen, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. It's all his. The Bible said he is the Almighty. Amen. If you're looking for power, you're going to have to get it from Jesus Christ, because he's got it all. Amen. Somebody said, I'm going to get power from the devil. The only power he's got is what God allows him to have. You want power, you get it from Jesus Christ. Said, you want power, you get it from Jesus. He has all power. He is the Almighty. Hallelujah. He is King over all. Yeah, he's King in heaven. Yes, he is. I'm going to tell you something else. He's King in hell. The Bible said he spent in the grave. And when he got ready to come out of there, I love that. I love to think, Calvary, you were preaching there. That's good stuff. You got to finish that on Wednesday night. Let me just say, hey man, what about Jesus Christ? They knew what they had done.
That's right. No, they did not.
They had defeated God. They thought that they had ended the life of a good man. And about the time hell was getting ready to party, a heavy hand knocked down the door, and Jesus walked through the gates. And the Bible said that he led captivity captive, amen, every soul that was righteous, that was trapped in the jail cell of death. Jesus came and said, give me the keys. I've come for the keys to death and to hell. Grave. Amen. That's why when Jesus Christ came out of the grave on the third day, the Bible said that some saints got up with him. And they saw risen saints on the streets of Jerusalem, because he led captivity captive and he overcame death. Amen. I'm talking about the Most High here tonight. I'm talking about the King of all. Why wouldn't you want to worship him? Don't go after no loser. Amen. Anybody want to worship the devil? He's a loser. Anybody want to worship the flesh? That's a loser. Ask me. I used to run like a deer. Now I run and people say, oh dear. This old flesh is a loser. Amen. Yeah, you think anything will happen to you. God will let you hang around long enough, you'll see. Some of you are 60, you'll be worse off than I am. Amen. Yeah, I'm talking about the King of all tonight. That's why we praise him. We praise him because of his holiness. The word holiness means separated. Amen. God is separate. God is holy. God is in a class all by himself. There is nobody like him. God and God alone is a creator. Everything else is creation and creature. Only God can make things simply by speaking his word. There's nobody like God. He's the only one that is perfect and pure and without sin. And there's no unrighteousness or variableness or shadow of turning in the Lord God of glory. He alone is holy. He alone is righteous. He alone is perfect. He alone is pure. Hallelujah. And then we worship God because He's good. You know, the thought occurred to me that God is good. And if He wasn't, there wouldn't be a thing I could do about it. Because He'd be God. Wouldn't it be awful if we had a God that wasn't good? Because He'd still be God and we'd be stuck with it. Amen. But I'm glad that He's God and He's good and He's all goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. God save me. Hear me tonight. He doesn't punish you to salvation. The Bible said the goodness of God draws us to repent. Say that again. The goodness of God draws us to repentance. God doesn't punish you to repentance. People asked, will God punish me? He doesn't have to. All God's got to do is let you go your own way and do your own thing, and you'll beat yourself up plenty. Life will beat you around. Yes, it will. You can't handle life well without God. There's no joy in life without God. There's no peace in life without God. There's no purpose in life without God. When God's left out of the equation, life is not life. It's a mere existence. It's a dash on the stone that separates a date of beginning and a date of death. But there's no purpose or power in it. Hey, you want to live life tonight? You live in Jesus Christ. His goodness will draw you to Him. Amen. God subdues us not with a sword, but with His love. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Did the love of Jesus ever break you? I knew a father one time, a good father. His son was going through a difficult time, a rebellious time. And the father didn't know what else to do. He walked into his son's room, didn't say a word. He took off his shirt. He took off his belt. He put the belt in his son's hands. And he said, "Son, I guess I just need you to whip me." He said, "I've pled with you. I've asked you to do right. I'm sorry. I must be such a bad father, but I can't get you to obey. I'm so sorry that I have failed you. Please, take this belt and just whip me." And that son fell on his knees weeping. And he said, "Dad, you're the best dad a boy could ever have. I couldn't lay a hand on you." You see, what punishment couldn't do, love did. Amen. Jesus understands that. Amen. I can't preach enough hell to get you in an altar tonight. I can't preach enough flames to get you in an altar tonight. If I did, it would only last for a day or two until you forgot. The only way that anybody can successfully live for Jesus Christ is you've got to fall in love with Him, with everything that is in your being. He won us with His love, and He won us with His grace and His mercy and His goodness. That's why we praise Him. That's why we praise Him. Amen. And then the Bible says that God chose us. Anybody remember being chosen? You remember when it just dropped sides, you know, you'd stand in this line and they'd get two captains and they'd start choosing. They'd start with Mr. Hot Stuff and everybody wanted him first. And then they'd go down the line until finally one or two left. Then the last one left, they'd argue over who had to take them. Amen. But God chose you. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. I'll tell you something about God. You can't get to God unless He wants you to. How are you going to find God? He's invisible. How are you going to feel God unless He manifests His presence so that you can feel Him? You can be in God's world and never know He's here. Every beer joint tonight, God's there. Every movie theater tonight, God's there. Every home tonight, God's there. Every place on the earth tonight, God's there. But people don't know He's there. God only, and you know He's there only if He reveals Himself to you and He allows you to feel His presence and the Holy Ghost draws you and woos you and moves you and draws you into His presence. That's why we praise Him. He chose it. I love this verse, 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 9 said, but you are a chosen generation. I said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Did you get that tonight? We're a chosen generation, folks. God chose us. Did you get that? We're a royal priesthood. Your majesty tonight. Hallelujah. Your royal blood tonight. Because of Jesus. Amen. You're a holy nation tonight. Amen. A peculiar people. Well, that describes us. We're peculiar, all right. Amen. The Bible said we're pilgrims and strangers. Some of us are stranger than others. But we are pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Hey, you know what the word peculiar means? It means a people that have a fortress built around them. That's what that means. We have been enfortressed by God. It's saying you're a protected people. Amen. I don't know if we're an endangered species. I guess we're not. How can you be endangered when God's protecting you? Huh? You can't be endangered when God's protecting you. All they can do is kill you. Can do. Amen. And all that is a promotion. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We are chosen tonight. Amen. I love this verse from the fourth verse here, the 47th, there in the book of Psalm. It said, He shall choose our inheritance for us. He shall choose. I love it. Another psalm that said, God is our portion. Or God is our inheritance. What greater inheritance that you could have tonight than that God is your inheritance? Amen. You know, I don't have any rich uncles. Matter of fact, I don't have any uncles. They're all gone. If I did have a rich uncle, I missed. Amen. I got two sweet little aunts left and they don't have much either. Amen. My mom and daddy didn't have an inheritance either. I missed out on all of that. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what my inheritance is? My inheritance is the Lord Himself. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 14 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Hallelujah. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together. For I reckon, see, Paul was a southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Got some suffering going on? Got some problems in your life? Guess what? The suffering will never be greater than the glory. Hallelujah. God's getting ready to reveal some glory in your life. Amen. God is going to be glorified by your faithfulness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God is our inheritance. Hallelujah. My, what an inheritance tonight. Amen. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink,
yes, sir,
but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, the greatest things in life, I can't think of anything greater than joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Amen. Happiness is you get a new car and you're happy till the first payment comes due. And you got 71 after that. That's happiness. It's pretty elusive. Happiness is that new house. Amen. And you make the first payment. Amen. And you got 30 years after that. It's like being in prison. That's happiness. Amen. But let me tell you what joy is. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Joy is waking up in a Philippian jail cell at midnight and your back is bleeding and it's hurting. Amen. But all of a sudden a little song starts somewhere deep inside and you find yourself singing at midnight. Hallelujah. And you begin to sing praises and it gets God's attention and the jail's knocked open wide. That's joy. You can't defeat it. Amen. I used to say I wasn't a morning person, but you know what? I am. I get up in the morning and I don't think I'm a morning person, but the next thing I know, Brother Neil, I'm humming and I'm singing and I'm whistling and I don't even know it. I don't even think I feel good. But I got joy. Hallelujah. Hey, I've almost been embarrassed before. I've been in situations where I knew I was supposed to be sad, but there was some joy going on. Amen. My sweet little mama, amen, we had her funeral right here. Amen. She was right there and in her casket right in front of this pulpit. Amen. But you know what was in this church house? There was joy here. I said there was joy here. When we got to singing, there was joy here. When we preached, there was joy here. Amen. You know why? Because you can't help it. She was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. She was a tongue talker. She was baptized in the name of Jesus. She believed in one God. Amen. The last thing we know she said to another person was, I'm going home today. And she did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm talking about joy.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. That's your inheritance. Righteousness is your inheritance. Well, Brother Grissom, what is righteousness? Righteousness is simply this, being right. How many of you like to be right? Amen. If you don't raise your hand, you're lying to yourself. Amen. Have you ever had an argument? Why did you argue? Because I'm right, bless your heart. All of us want to be right. Amen. Righteousness is simply being right. Really right. Right with God. Right with man. Right with our brothers and sisters. Amen. That's what righteousness is. We have peace and we have joy and we have righteousness. Amen. Peace, what a gift that is. The Bible speaks of a peace passes all understanding. Anybody ever had that peace? I know what that peace is. I know what that peace is. Oh, there's no peace like that. There's no peace like that. Amen. I mean, the most difficult things you'll ever go through in your life, God can give you a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, you talk about an inheritance tonight. I got to hurry. Amen. I've already gone longer than I intended. 15 minutes is up. Amen. Verse number 9. I'm bringing this to a close. Amen. I promise I'll be through it in another 30 minutes. Amen. Amen. We're good looking now. And finally, we're looking at the final verse. Let's look at verse number 9. Amen. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. I want you to get that. The shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. What are the shields of the earth? God put some shields here. You know what a shield is? A shield is it's our defensive weapon. A shield is our protection. God put some things on the earth that were meant to protect us. Now this first one's going to surprise you, but God invented government to protect you. Government is supposed to protect you. But governments can go afoul. And governors can go astray. And government can become corrupted until it does not work the function that God set it out to do. But government, true government, is supposed to shield us. It's supposed to protect us. It's supposed to take care of us. But government can fail. God made the home as a shield. God intended that your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters should be a shield. God intended that your house ought to be a fortress, a place of protection, a place of safety, and a place of security in the world. God intended that a husband should be able to shelter his wife from the storms of life. And God intended that a wife could shelter her husband also in the storms of life. That's what God intended in the home. And if you have such a home, you're blessed. And if you don't have such a home, you ought to have one like that. And you can have one like that. And you should have one like that. And you must have one like that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You just got to get on the same page and say, you know what? We got to get the storm out of the tea kettle here. Right. Amen. We got to get the storm out of the house. We're supposed to be protected here. Amen. I'm telling you, wife, you need to protect your husband. I'm telling you, husband, you need to protect your wife. I'm telling you, mom and daddy, you need to take care of your kids. You don't need to bring the world into your home. Somebody told me one time about television. They said, oh, it's just the same stuff you see every day outside. And they may be right. When I go outside, I may have to see it out there, but I don't have to see it in my home. Yeah, man, I don't have to expose my children to it. I can protect my family from the world. And that's what we're supposed to have. Our houses, our homes are supposed to be a place where you can have safety and security and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what your home is supposed to be. Amen. Now you hear me tonight. Don't you blame it on your mate if it's not. You hear what I'm telling you? Amen. You got to work together to make it right. If you're just hiding behind some accusation, you need to get off of your high horse. And you need to get down on your knees. Right alongside your husband. If you're both Christians, there's no reason you ought to have a turbulence in your home. Brother Grissom, you sure are getting with it here tonight. Yes, I am. Because I'm so sick of the devil bringing trouble in people's houses. Amen. You need to do it for your kids' sake, if nobody else's. Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. There's no reason to have turbulence in your house. You're going to have some disagreements. I understand that. You're individuals. Amen. But you need to get it together. Get the communication going. Talk with one another. Now, let me tell you what the other side of talking is. Huh? What do you got on this side of your head? On this side of your head? Did you ever notice you got two of these? And one of these?
Come on.
Do you suppose the Lord might be telling us something? I've known some folks so that they'd gladly trade their right arm for another mouth. they got too many ears already. Amen, but they just can't talk enough. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
You might as well laugh. Because it's all true.
Amen.
God intended the home to be a shield, but it can fail. It can fail. There may be people here tonight that you were very severely injured in your home.
Amen.
There may be people here tonight that home that was supposed to protect you miserably failed you. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Amen. The church is a shield. Amen. If the government fails you and the home fails you, let me tell you, God's got a church. And the church is supposed to shield you. Amen. Now let's get a clear picture of what the church is here tonight. The church is not an aquarium where God exhibits perfect creatures. It's not a museum where the world loses an odds and say, oh, look at all those perfect people in there. My, isn't this something? The church is not a museum. The church is a hospital. You remember when Jesus found the Samaritan that was by the roadside and he was left there to die, broken and bleeding? And Jesus stopped, the Bible, the good Samaritan, he stopped and he took that wounded man and he set him on his own beast and he poured in the oil and the wine and he took him to the inn and he said to the innkeeper, he said, you take care of him and come back this way. If you spend any more than what I've already given you, he said, I'll pay you back. You know what the Lord was talking about when he said the inn? He was talking about his church. Amen. People that are hurting, this is where they belong. I said, this is where they belong. Amen. And if you think this is for perfect people, you need to leave here. Because you're going to mess it up. Did you get what I'm saying there? Amen. If this is about perfect people, I think we all need to leave here. Because here's the word, we're going to mess it up. Because we're not perfect. Not a one of us. All of us hurt. All of us are wounded. And this is where you need to come when you need healing. Now thank God, not all of us are hurting at the same time. Amen. You know, there's times all of us are up. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then somebody comes in that's hurting and wounded, and we can surround them with healing and with prayer and with strength and with encouragement and love, and we can help them and we can heal them and we can restore them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what the church is all about. It's a shield, Brother Neil. Amen. This is where you can come to find consolation. I can't promise you that you'll never get hurt in the church. I can't promise you that nobody will ever hurt your feelings in the church. I can't promise you that nobody in the church will ever let you down. I can't promise you that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't promise you that the church will always be perfect. But I can promise you that it's a shield. And that not everybody's going to get on your nerves. Is that all right? But you know what? Somebody can hurt our feelings and we feel like the whole church let us down. Amen. And that wasn't true. Amen. You know, I don't even know folks get hurt until I read it on Facebook. Or to Facebook. That's the only way. You know, anyone what's going on? Used to, people would come talk to the pastor. Now they just put it on Facebook. Amen. I can't promise the church won't fail.
It's a fact.
Amen. I'm not going to promise you that it'll always be perfect. I'm sorry. I wish I could. But I just know too much. I've been around this for my whole life. I broke my last baby bottle when I was in church, my mama said, when I was 18. Months. We'll make that sure. She got that. Months. I've been around this all my life. Amen. And so I know what church is all about. But there's no place like it.
That's right.
Amen. If you ever think it's rough here, I promise you it's a whole lot rougher out there.
That's right.
You don't ever want to go back. Let me tell you something. If you go back, you're going to stay longer than you intended to stay. It's going to cost you more than you intended to pay. Amen. It's going to be a lot harder for you to get home. How many people do I know that just wanted a taste of the world and they've been gone for a mighty long time? And the travesty is, you might make it home, but the ones you love may not. Amen. It's important tonight that you understand that when you leave the church, it's going to cost you dearly. Amen. You need to get a hold of this and hang on with everything you've got. Amen. If somebody hurts your feelings, get away from them. Get with somebody else. Amen. Somebody, you get your eye on somebody in the church that did wrong. You look at all around the people who are doing right. Hey, do you know what I said? I said, you look around at all the people that are doing right. Amen. You don't get to listen to a bunch of negative stuff. You get with those folks. If you want to know who to hang around the church, you watch the altar. You want to know who to get around? Watch people that are in the altar. Those folks that pray at every service. Those folks who are last to leave the altar down here. Those are the folks that you want to be around. That's where your strength is. And I promised you I was going to finish, and I really am. One more thing. One more shield. Our greatest shield is Jesus Christ. The government might fail you. Home might fail you. The church might fail you. But Jesus Christ will never fail you.
Amen.
What was it the prophet said? He said, my mother, my father might forsake me. He said, my brother, my sister might forsake me. He said, but the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. The Lord will lift me up. The Lord will embrace me. The Lord will protect me. The Lord will overshadow me. The Lord will take care of me. When nothing else can help, Jesus can help.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's our shield today.
Yes, He is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you what to do when temptation knocks on the door. Send Jesus to answer. You don't go answering. You just say, Lord, would you take care of that, please? Hey, I promise you, when he opens the door, the tempter's going to hit the road. Brother David, I knew, I heard about a young man's testimony that come to the Lord, and he was coming off of drugs and stuff, and he was having a real temptation one day. And you may have, I hope you don't, but you may have some temptations. But one day he was having a real battle. He was really tempted to go smoke some grass. And he was walking along, and he looked up and he saw this sign on this beautiful lawn. It said, "Keep off the grass." God sent him a message. That was his shield. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, God is your shelter. God is your shield. He will take care of you. Amen. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Didn't he say that? He said, "Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world." Jesus said, "No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand." You hear me tonight? If you make up your mind you want to stay, there's not a devil in hell that can take you out of the hand of God. There's not a human force. There's not a sin that's ever been created that can take you out of the hand of God. But let me tell you, the hand of God doesn't have a fence around it. There's no walls. He's not trying to fence you in. The only thing that can take you out of God's hand is if you decide you're going to walk away. Aside from that, there's nothing that can separate you from God. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time and your attention and listening to us here tonight. Amen. How good God is. How good God is. How good God is. Don't you love Him tonight? Wouldn't you like to pour out some praise upon the Lord right now? Amen. Wouldn't you like to just pour forth some praise to God, because He's been so good. You're the Most High. Hallelujah. I can reach out and reach up, no matter how far down, and You'll lift me up. Praise God. I can't fall past Your ability to raise me and to lift me and to set me upon that rock that is higher than I. Jesus, I thank You tonight. And I want to pour praise upon You. I want praise to flow out of my mouth and out of my heart and out of my spirit tonight like a river. Oh, I want to feel You, Lord, with joy tonight. I want to feel You tonight with thanks. I want to feel You tonight, God, with the praises that pour forth from my being. Hallelujah. May the heavens be filled with our praises. May the angels hear our praises. Let hell hear our praises. Let the world hear our praises. But more than anything, oh Lord, receive our praise tonight. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, oh Lord. Oh, I want to pour praise on You. I want to lift You up. I want to magnify You. I want to glorify You. King of glory and Lord of my life. I worship You. 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 I worship You.